Jacob.
Hey, what's up?
I got a question for you.
Yeah?
What do a cartoonist who changes his appearance and personality to impress the girl of his dreams and an architect who becomes pen pals with a woman from another time have in common?
That's a lot. I have no idea. What do they have in common?
I don't know. Let's find out, because this week I watched The Boyfriend School.
And this week I watched The Lake House.
And now it's time to make
the movie connection. All right, here we go. Season finale, everybody.
Woohoo,
we made it. And hi there, my name is Jacob, and I am here with my sister,
Casey,
and my good friend,
Colleen.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection.
That's right.
Which is a podcast where, you know, in an effort to broaden mine and Casey's individual movie horizons, and just to remain connected in general, we decided to connect over something we enjoy a lot, and that is
movies.
And this time around, for our season finale, we decided to bring along a friend to join in the misery, if you will, because, man,
yeah, this is becoming a tradition too, after we had friends on last season finale for Rubber.
Yes,
this is better than Rubber. Jacob gave that one star.
One star.
And I think he gave both of these more than one star. I hope. We'll see.
We're going to, you know, assign each other movies to watch, and we assign each other doozies to watch this week, and then we watch them, and then we sit down to review them and, you know, discuss them, and then to find out, is there any connective tissue between these two different movies?
Any at all.
Anything. Anything. Anything whatsoever. Could be small.
Yeah.
Could be Keanu Reeves sneeze worthy large. Like, I mean, that acting, holy crap. What a sneeze.
Fucking sneeze,
the
man.
The sneeze heard around the world.
Everybody knows about the Keanu sneeze.
We got to see that, like, repeated a few times when we went.
How did this get made live?
Yeah, live. Yeah, we got to see that.
It was fun.
But anywho, you know what? Like, let's stop delaying the inevitable. Let's get right into these movies. You know, in the tradition, like, these are both confounding and, yeah, definitely fit the criteria. So there's one connection for you right off the bat.
They do both have audiences too, don't they?
Yeah, apparently, because Lake House does have kind of a, I don't want to say cult following, but
it's not quite a cult following, similar, but there are people that definitely, like me, who like the movie.
Like, similar to the 10 Things I Hate About You thing.
Oh, yeah, I love that movie, too. Yeah. Maybe I'm just, like, part of all these cults.
You're a cultist.
Shit.
Yep,
how do I join?
Yeah. And Colleen, one of these you had, like, I forced you, more or less, to watch. Like,
what about that movie? Did you scream, Colleen has to watch this?
I needed somebody to join in the misery. Okay. Like, I needed
sometimes that's how it is.
And I needed to see, like, is this secretly really good? Like, because there's something to it that brings me back to it?
I remember it just a little bit differently than that, Jacob.
Okay. How do you remember it?
I remember asking
you. Forced me to watch it? Wait a second. Did I get this? No. Anyway.
Maybe. Ooh. I remember very distinctly asking you, what is your guilty pleasure movie?
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
And you responded,
oh, God, I'm exposed.
The Boyfriend School.
Oh, shit.
I'm exposed. Yeah, okay, that fit. That definitely fits.
That checks out.
Is The Lake House a guilty pleasure movie? Would it be considered a guilty pleasure? Yeah.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that people thought The Lake House was bad until a few years ago.
Took the memo 2 years to finally reach you.
So,
or no, not even that.
I guess
that came
now
out
it's a guilty pleasure, but, like, back then, I had zero idea that there was anything to be guilty about.
You thought it was just...
I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
Time travel, romance,
Keanu
Reeves.
Not a rom-com, though, right?
Like, no, it's not a rom-com.
Just a rom-rom.
Similar to, I really loved the movie Serendipity with
Serendipity.
John Cusack and...
not Sandra Bullock.
No.
No.
Oh, my God, I can't think of her name. Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, awesome.
And
great,
they're not on different timelines, but it's a serendipity similar...
keeps happening.
Yes. And I really liked that movie too. And they came out, I feel like, close to the same time.
And so did you see this like pretty much right when it came out?
Yeah, probably.
You didn't see it in theaters though.
What year did it come out?
2006.
No, I was too young.
Oh no, 2008 maybe. Anyway.
If it was 2008,
wait, most oh my god, 2 years difference. It. What the fuck? It could What's be either.
What's happening? Go to the mailbox.
Yeah. The mailbox, man. Is this an analogy for the internet?
It's a thinker.
Anyway.
Maybe if it were a Doctor Who episode.
right. We are starting with. But okay, we keep dancing around. We keep, what was the name of the stupid dance they end up doing? We keep...
The shag.
Shag.
Nope, don't want to say that.
Jesus Christ, what is wrong with us? My God. See, that's how fucked up these movies are, man.
They are fucked up.
Yeah.
Really fucked up.
Anywho, so without further ado, shall we get into the boyfriend school?
The boyfriend school.
Did you have a short one? Or, because Colleen, you have one prepared as well, right?
I have a full.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll do you. So, you first. Okay.
Okay.
And then, okay. Yeah.
What do I say about this movie? Gus is recovering from cancer, and his romance novelist sister, Lizzie, wants him to find true love. She meets a journalist at a romance novel convention. Yep. I didn't know they had those.
Yeah.
And sets them up. No. When Emily doesn't show interest in Gus, Lizzie encourages him to go through a makeover and become another character that Emily will want before Emily marries her shitty on and off boyfriend.
Yeah.
Trout.
Trout. Like, what a... I mean...
What a name.
What a name.
Gus goes through the makeover to become Lobo, a leather-wearing biker with rock and roll hair from New Zealand.
New Zealand.
New Zealand. When Emily finds out the truth, will love overcome his deception?
Dang.
There it is. That's the movie.
You heard it here. But Colleen, what are you? How would you describe this movie?
How would I describe this movie?
Yes.
I would describe this movie as a beautiful train wreck that you will never, ever want to miss in your life.
Okay.
I swear.
Yeah.
It is just, it's the diamond that you're going for on Camelback. Not even going to lie.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that was the thing. Like, that animation, the humor is, like, all over the place.
Yes,
in
it
this.
Is,
like,
for sure. That is so true.
And, the animation, totally, set that up from the get-go. So, that's kind of one of my, Q&A questions is, what did you think of the characters, first of all? Like, the Holy Trinity. Let's start with So what's Jamie Gertz's character's name? The lady of his affections?
Emily.
Emily. So Emily, what do we think of Emily? Played by Jamie Gertz.
She's a Scorpio.
You think Jamie
love
you
it.
Think
I love
you
it.
Think she's a Scorpio? Interesting. She okay, yeah.
She
go
is.
Go on. Yeah,
In the very beginning, when you see her on a date with the guy who's not Trout.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
He's going off about her being a Scorpio. And he's like, I could tell, I could tell. You're either Scorpio or a Leo, I could tell. And then this
one of the two.
Whiter than whiteboard white guys turns to the waitress and starts saying starts ordering his meat
oh my
what
god,
he wants
the
in Spanish.
Right, right.
But it's bad.
Yeah. In
and
straight
she's
up English.
A white waitress.
Yes.
And she's just like, sure.
Yeah, sure, bro.
You're that guy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
That's the thing is, like, he's, very forced and so white. Like,
she is a Scorpio.
Yeah, interesting. And she does have that edge, like, and she's, she's not into this romance crap.
Yeah.
Very skeptical. So, yeah, that checks out, I guess.
I
forgot. I was not paying attention to that. So Casey, what did you think of her?
Same. Mm-hmm. Same for the most part. I think that she has interesting standards. Some double standards exist.
Yeah.
Because she says she wants one thing, but really she doesn't, which is how a lot of people are in general, I guess. Right. But
oh, and especially in the 90s. I mean, this is the height of that character type, right?
It 100% is.
Yeah,
100% is. And in the 90s, there were a lot of makeover movies.
Yeah.
Because everybody was very superficial. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, yeah.
They like to say that they weren't, and the end is usually like, oh, I don't care what you look like. But the whole movie is like being superficial.
Yeah, for real. That's true. Shit.
Well, the 90s was when technology was starting to pick up here in America, and we were coming out with new stuff like just about every few months.
Yeah.
And so, of course, the decade would go to a more superficial
100%.
Yeah, for sure. Dang, yeah. And this movie caught that because it was ahead of its time. No, let's not give it that much credit, maybe. So moving on to, let's talk about Steve Guttenberg. All right, let's talk about Gus.
Yeah. Gus has nice guy syndrome.
The matter of Gus. Nice guy, perfect. Yeah, that's
let's
okay.
Let's just start out with
that. Yeah, 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 go on.
He might be, he might have genuinely nice things, but like he just is one of those guys that's like, no, I'm the nice guy, therefore I deserve this.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
And it's like, very at the expecting. End of the day, no means no, like move on. Mm-hmm. But he's just like, no, I'm the nice guy, I need to win in this situation.
Yeah.
And he, you know, I hear him say that a lot, and I hear his sister say a lot, like, oh, he's a nice guy.
Right.
And we even hear Emily say it, like almost in a negative way about him, right?
Yeah.
He's really nice.
Yes, right. Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah, so, but I love Steve Guttenberg. Like, he's such a good actor. He plays character really well.
Yep.
Yeah. I did think it was really fun.
Yeah, it Lobo is fun, was really for fun. Sure. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Lobo was
so
a fun
many
character.
Choices. Like,
so many choices.
Like, a clash of choices. We got, right, like you said, the hair, man.
The hair, man.
The hair.
That was like 80s, like rock and roll hair band style hair.
And this came out in 1990, so you got to figure, yeah, I mean, 80s, like this was being filmed in the late 80s.
Yeah, it's coming
so
in off of the hair metal age.
It 100% is. Yeah. 100%.
And didn't his boot, did his boots say Harley Davidson on them too? Like, it
branding,
felt like he was wearing.
That was also really big. I mean, it's still, people still brand, but
yeah.
we do it a lot classier now for the most
part. Oh, sure.
Part.
Yeah, no, most part, yeah.
For the most part.
Michael Bay, stop what you're doing.
Yeah, for real. But yeah, that makes
Except
sense.
Except I do kind of want to see Beast Wars. But anyway.
Of course you do. But yeah, his outfit choices for Lobo were interesting.
Holy crap. The intro to Lobo gets me every time. Just like, and here he is. Just drink him in, everybody.
That's right.
I'm Colleen. So Gus and Lobo. Thoughts? Like, you know, like him? Hate him?
So, I liked Gus.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. I agree with that nice guy syndrome thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, it doesn't mean I hate him. It
no,
just,
no.
Yeah, it just means that
it's
I
good
like him
to
too.
Notice, though, because, yeah, no, not a, you know, not enough movies, like, really got into that. Yeah.
I love that it paints it in a way that, like, you know, hey, in the end, what you did is wrong. Had he have not, like, lied about his identity and just worked on his appearance...
Mm-hmm.
Like he wanted to in the first place, instead of
it
doing
would have saved it some drama.
In a in instead of doing it in a sneaky way, trying to be sneaky about it.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have ended just beautifully.
Yeah,
I mean, 100%. It did end beautifully in the end. Well, it didn't. It ended really, really, really,
really
weird.
Awkwardly.
And I so really want to talk about it.
Yeah. We will. We will.
Oh my
okay.
God.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It all kind of.
Yeah. It really is like. I've read a lot of romance books in my life, and this is the plot of a romance book, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, it totally is. So I enjoy that part, too, because it's, like, mocking the romance book genre a little bit.
And very much, I mean, she's a romance novelist.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And she, like, creates this, she has him create a character.
Yes.
And, you know,
oh,
she
a
literally.
A frequent trope of a romance novel?
Well, I mean, no. Just, like, we're creating the character that's
oh.
going to go in the book.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
okay,
he's basically
I see.
A character
Roger.
She's writing into a book.
Yes, yes.
And,
yep.
like, you know, just the whole trope of the whole thing playing out
Got
exactly
it. Yes.
how it would in a romance novel.
Yep.
Like, just
Roger.
Fun.
Yep.
Very fun.
For sure.
Well, yeah, the movie was a book. The name of the movie is The Boyfriend School, but the original book is Don't Tell Her It's Me.
Yes, that's right. Oh, shit. Okay. Which is the original title. Yeah, and the awesome song.
Totally checks out.
And one of the, I think the, even the original trailer, the first trailer that came out was, yeah, still under the impression that it was going to be Don't Tell Her It's Me, because you get Steve Guttenberg doing the intro and everything. Oh, yeah. It's crazy. And finally, the one who's carrying the movie the whole time is Shelley Long.
She's so fabulous.
Holy crap. Like, am I right? Carrying the movie?
Yeah, 100%. Like... she's such a character. Like, she's so fun and definitely meddles too much, but...
Like, for sure, like...
Like, so many boundaries are crossed, man. So many boundaries, but...
Yeah. Like, I just have... I just keep comparing. It's like... Like the whole, that, I mean, that, the, what was the sex education demonstration or whatever. I'm just like, this is like, if Casey like set me up with it, like, are you kidding me? This is fucked up. Like,
that's my favorite scene.
Oh, no. No. Blew it.
No, 100% I agree. Yeah. It's so wildly inappropriate. But, okay,
but
wildly
that's why
inappropriate.
It's...
So funny though.
Yeah, hilarious.
So funny.
That lady, like, what the fuck?
Oh,
like,
my God, she's just...
And I know her as the Alamo lady from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, my God, I wonder if that's what I recognized her from.
Because it's the accent, man. It's just like, wait, I know that voice.
Yeah, I was like, I know this lady.
See, I know her from The Office, where she was Dwight's babysitter.
Oh, my God, it's amazing. The same character. it's the same character.
Awesome.
That's amazing. Miss Shelley Long, right? So I keep messing up the names. Her character's name,
Lizzie.
Lizbo.
Yeah, pretty awesome character. Like, and even a little different from her character that we saw in True Beverly Hills, but still has the same charm because it's Shelley Long. You know? Because, yeah, she's pulling this off.
Like... I will say, like, maybe halfway through the movie, when she was telling her daughter, like, one of the things that would happen to her if she touched, like, the electric socket.
Yes.
I, like, looked over at Josh and I was like, she's a good mom.
Telling her exactly what's going to happen, though, like in excruciating detail.
See, I actually think that's great.
It is.
I think it's so great. As a person with anxiety, I like to have every piece of information. And if the world explained everything like that, I would be like, cool.
Okay, I'm not fucking doing that again then. You've got a point. That sounds awful. That sounds fucking awful. Wait, this whatever she said, like oil soluble thing will... Take out all the moisture. Wait, no, I need that. No, I'm good, dog.
Yeah.
Her poor daughter, though.
That poor child. That
poor child.
What would you call your kid
Piglet? It's such an awful nickname.
Like, parenting 101. Do not
do
that.
Just don't do it.
And then call any other thoughts on... So, Miss Shelley Long's character, romance novelist extraordinaire.
I understand that she went to school and was like really big in linguistics, so I would understand that she would want to be very cultured. However, it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
It doesn't go well.
Not at all.
Great character. Amazing. Again, what I said before, beautiful train wreck.
Yeah.
Beautiful train wreck. Yeah.
And she, the train wreck of her... engineering, pretty much.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Meddling.
So does someone disguising themselves to win the affections of another work in reality? Do we have any real life examples?
I don't think so.
I don't think it works.
Yeah.
I don't think so either. I think the deception would be too big. If this was real life, I would feel super betrayed.
Yeah.
Violated.
Yeah. Yeah, even if the initial like disguising part got pulled off, which like that's what I mean, like that there's, well, I don't know, I just don't think anybody can disguise themselves that well.
Yeah, I'm sure that there are psychos that that live that life, but
yeah,
I think you're right.
But But if they even got that far, yeah, in the end, it's like, okay, yeah, but no, this isn't happening.
Yeah, I can't buy you real happiness because that's built on a lie.
Yeah.
Foundation should never be built on a lie.
Right. Foundation of a lake house built on
stilts.
Which is the better movie title, though? Don't Tell Her It's Me or The Boyfriend School?
I have to say that Don't Tell Her It's Me makes more sense. Uh-huh. The Boyfriend School, when you told me the title, I thought I was going to watch like a high school movie.
Right.
And they are not in high school.
They are certainly not.
No.
I like the deception that goes along with The Boyfriend School because it goes along with the theme of the movie.
There is a lot of deception happening.
Yeah. So is the Lobo character himself, you going for that? That appealing to you? Is he an appealing character?
I could.
Full disclosure. Yeah. He's got his charms, you know, he's got a little edge.
I'm good.
Yeah. 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 A little too much.
It's just too much.
And he drops character so much. The points when he drops character are the best.
They are so funny. Oh my God, so funny.
So those are basically all my questions. I think I'm really excited to hear about your guys' favorite scene. Shall we move on to the favorites?
Favorites.
All right.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. Colleen, favorite performance first. Let's start with performance.
So my favorite performance in this was definitely the lead man.
Steve Guttenberg.
I have to say it because not only he played Gus and then he played a completely different character.
Yeah.
And he did it the whole time. That was my favorite performance out of the whole movie.
And he definitely committed to those choices.
Yeah.
Yep. Perfect. Good choice. So, Casey, same question. Favorite performance.
Same. Steve Guttenberg.
Steve Guttenberg. All right. Yeah, all right.
He's great.
Got it right.
He plays, like, all of the cringy parts just cringy enough to, like, make it still good. You know?
He collected a hefty paycheck for this one, too.
Yeah. That's what you were telling me. Yeah. It's a lot.
A lot.
Honorary?
And then, yeah, honorary.
My honorary goes to Shelley Long.
Yes.
Yeah, she's excellent.
And did you have an honorary? I don't know if I might not.
Shelley Long. I agree.
Okay,
yep.
Cool.
Yeah, we're both in the same boat. Emily, she just wasn't.
She has her charm. I liked what she was doing. But the jellyfish scene, what was going on there?
Ew. That whole scene was just awful.
Awful.
Awkward.
Who decided that that would be a really good first date dinner?
Yeah, honestly.
And did anybody else see the shot where he was like blown up, his face was blown up?
Yes.
Like a balloon?
Because it was from Emily's point of view, because she was feeling sick from the jellyfish in her mouth. And then she looks up, and then all of a sudden she's starting to see like all of the imperfections on Gus, and she's like, I gotta get out of here.
Okay. So that's what it's trying to convey. All right. I knew it had to be something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, those jellyfish were definitely dead on the plate. There was no reason they should have been bubbling. Ew, but when we were looking down at them, it was bubbling up.
Well, part of me was wondering if, are jellyfish hallucinogenic? Like, what's happening here?
No.
No.
That I'm aware of.
Yeah. There is a dish where you have a squid, and if you dress it in soy sauce, it activates the
nerve
endings and it moves.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Interesting.
But that was not this.
Definitely different. But no, good. You heard it here, folks. Okay.
I like how the dad was really clueless about it too. Mm-hmm. In the end, because he was like, "Well, that couldn't have gone any worse."
Yeah, you.
Eyesight's 20/20, my guy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, you did this. Mm-hmm. Right. So moving on from favorite performance, favorite scene.
My favorite scene is the erotic teaching scene.
Yes.
Just because the teacher is so fucking funny.
So hilarious.
Oh my God. When she's dangling over that mannequin, I was laughing so hard.
She rips the dick off. Like, what?
Yep.
All right. Let's get started.
So redonkulous.
Good stuff. And favorite scene for you, Colleen?
My favorite scene was when her car dies outside of his house and she steals his motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. That was so good. That was so good.
Yes. I can't. It doesn't make sense in my brain.
Because no way in hell. Like.
Yep.
Classic. Good choice. I got to say, I have to mention the what would it be? The convenience store
scene. Oh my God, so good.
Holy hell.
It is so good.
The mounting tension and quick dismantling of said tension and him, you have to figure how he looks from these people's perspective. Walking in, going around, stopping, talking to himself, closing it, going back around, yeah. Coming back in. Like, what are you doing, my guy? Like,
she even said, like, I thought you were leaving.
Like, I just had to mention that because that's the scene that kills me.
It was so funny.
So, do we have a favorite quotation, a favorite line of dialogue?
Do you have yours ready?
I do.
All right.
Okay, go for it.
Oh, her name's Annabelle. Oh. But sometimes we call her Piglet. Mostly Piglet. it messes me up so much.
And you can't see it, but she had that memorized. So, yeah. Favorite
that
line.
Is very
yeah.
good.
It sticks in the mind for sure. Like
it's
like,
there.
The audacity.
Mine is from Lizzie.
All right.
She says, "No, Annabelle, don't play with the space heater coil. Piglet, if you breathe gas, it will tie up your available hemoglobin and there will be none left for oxygen transfer. Your lips and nail beds will turn cherry red and you'll die of carbon monoxide poisoning. I like to acquaint her with consequences."
Solid, like, you know what?
So good.
And kind of a strong case for maybe the writing's pretty good in this. I think it was actually written by the author of the book.
Oh, hey, yeah. That's cool.
Awesome. Great, great, great. I did not come prepared with the line of dialogue, unfortunately.
That's okay.
But I definitely had a favorite scene, oh my goodness. All right, and finally, the moment we've been waiting for, which you rewatch or recommend, and or Colleen?
I've watched it 4 times since the first time I watched it, so absolutely, I would recommend people to watch it.
Awesome.
Damn, okay. I would probably rewatch it and maybe recommend it.
Yeah. What stops you from recommending it?
Yeah, it's what stops you?
It's a little bit crazy.
Crazy.
It would be a certain like type of person that I would recommend it to.
But it still exists in this weird realm where it's like it's not bad enough.
No.
Nor is it good enough to
be a cult classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, and now to introduce the new segment into the mix. We got another R here. Should this get the reboot treatment? What do you think?
So, in my mind, the only way this works for reboot is if you, like, swap the gender of the person.
Interesting.
Just to flip things around a little bit.
The girlfriend scope.
Yeah. There was a movie called She's All That was also in the 90s, and then they remade it this year, and it was He's All That.
Okay.
And they swapped it, and it worked.
Oh.
So.
Interesting. Yeah. I'd be interested to see that. Okay.
I would go for that.
Yeah.
However, this is just essentially The Little Mermaid, but with a guy.
Yeah.
She changes herself to be with Eric.
Wait a sec. Hold on. Is Shelley Long the Ursula in this situation?
She is.
Oh.
She is.
But I guess in this universe, she's not evil.
Roger that. Okay.
Just has poor boundaries.
Great. Awesome.
Interesting. I love that.
Awesome. Ooh, that felt good. All right, reboot. Introduced into the podcast for the first time.
Yeah.
And then how many stars would you give this one, Casey?
2.5.
Aye. Nice. Solid.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I don't know.
What was
that? I was genuinely something about that. No, that's solid because that's middle of the road. Like, yeah.
I almost
so
gave
you didn't
it 2,
hate it. Okay.
But I gave it 2.5 just because of our 2 leads, like, amazing acting.
Yep.
So Shelley Long and Steve Guttenberg, like, just did so good.
Right.
Then I was like, it deserves 0.5 star.
Did you rate that higher than Swiss Army Man?
No, Swiss Army Man, I give a 3.
Oh, dang.
Which, looking back, I'm like, What was I on?
I think I gave it a 3-2. Yeah,
I actually thought it was good, yeah. But now I'm looking back and I just remember farts.
It's. I think that was the intention. The intention of the directors. So, Colleen, did you have a star rating for this one out of 5 stars?
I'm going to give it a 2. I'm going to keep with my 2.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Solid.
I'm going to stay rooted in the 2.
Do it.
However, for heart, I would give it a 10.
Okay. Nice. Yes.
I love that.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Fantastic. Okay. And hey, stay tuned for a new segment that we're introducing near the end where we will tell you if you did happen to... If you did happen to like this movie, you might like some 3 other movies. So we'll let you know about that as we move on to The Lake House.
The Lake House.
It's my turn.
Hell yeah, it is.
This is not a British movie at
fucking
all.
Fucking excited.
So I will be on it. So this is definitely the shortest in your own words that I've ever done. But that's only because I wanted to leave room to...
There is so much to unpack.
Yeah.
So let's do that.
Okay. So The Lake House. There's a house on a lake in Chicago that is more than just visually impressive. It allows the tenants from 2 years apart to communicate with each other across time. What starts as a casual pen pal relationship snowballs into a full-blown romance. One that has both Alex, played by Keanu Reeves, and Kate, played by Sandra Bullock, considering what might have been when they crossed paths in the past. And what could still be in the, and what could still be in the future if the timing is just right, or whatever.
Okay.
Something like that. Okay.
That's fair.
The Lake House.
The name of the movie.
And that's why it's confounding. Like I couldn't get into it because it's like, how do you even get into the intricacies of this weird? The 2-year gap is frustrating.
This again verges. I'm gonna fuck it up anyways. This like sort of verges into like the almost paranormal romance too that we talked about.
It does.
Like that was like a genre that I sort of liked, but it was only sort of paranormal, and that's like this. This fits into that perfectly.
Yeah. Colleen,
It was like a really long episode of The Twilight Zone.
Okay. Love that.
But yep. Full blown romance.
Okay.
Yeah. Love that.
Okay. If Nora Ephron had gotten her hands on this, we could have had something.
It could have been fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
It could have been soul-crushingly brilliant, but yeah. She didn't.
But she did not. She was, yeah.
This was based off of, I believe, a Japanese movie?
Yep, which I'm curious to see now, because, does get some acclaim. So, you know, I'm curious to see that. So that's definitely on my to-watch list.
Excellent. I love it.
You just never know. Sometimes it is better served from the, you know, source material or whatever. And sometimes they improve on it. This made me think of the whole Ring situation that I had recently, which I really enjoyed Ringu, which I'm not a big horror movie fan anyway, but really enjoyed Ringu. But The Ring, left me wanting a little bit. But I think a lot of people feel a little bit the opposite. Like, The Ring is still, like, really...
It was very good.
definitely changed the game for horror. Sorry, and everything like that.
I just crossed a boundary. I just played footsie with my brother.
This is the episode for it. Nope. Jesus
shit.
I'm sorry, that's my fault.
Good god.
Oh my lord.
So there's that. So I'm hoping that maybe it makes more sense that way. By the time we get to the midpoint, I had to finally be like, okay, you know what? You know what's probably a good idea is if I try not to make sense of it. There we go. Like, I can do that. And I tried. And then it would pull some shit. Like, and I'm just like, wait, but that doesn't make... Wait, the tree. Why the tree?
You sounded like Nicolas Cage.
Why the tree?
When you said that. Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have answers.
No?
When I watch it, I'm like, I'm just along for the ride.
So you did manage to just burn up and just accept it all. Really? None of that is a problem for you?
This is the first time that I ever watched it with a critical eye.
Okay.
Because I knew you were going to be watching it. And this time I was like, oh yeah, the timeline is really fucked up. Yeah. Like, it's so fucked.
Like right off the bat, it's like, wait, who's in the past? Who's in the future again? Right. And if this 2-year gap is a thing, like, you guys can look each other up, like, so quickly. It's not even funny. And you keep crossing paths anyway.
Right.
There's some serendipity to it.
There is some serendipity. I'm telling you, the movies are similar.
Yeah. Yeah. There is that paranormal. Yeah.
That's on your list, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, crap.
Mm-hmm. Have fun. Oh, no. John Cusack.
John's all right.
I like him.
Yeah. He's got a good voice. Obviously. Yeah, that's true. He made quite a few there for a while. Oh, yeah, my goodness. Keanu Reeves, does he work as a romantic lead? Not so much for me.
Should we hop into our Q&A?
Let's do it.
All right. I'm gonna start with my question number two, because you just mentioned, sort of. We've talked about Keanu and what a wonderful person he is. But you've mentioned not being sure how good of an actor he is.
Case in point.
What do you think?
Yep, case in point here. Like, okay, he has good chemistry with Sandra Bullock.
Oh my God, off the
like,
chain.
That's working. And they did do Speed together, so...
Yeah, this was like the second movie.
Not the drug. Although...
Who knows?
You know.
We don't know.
Who are we to judge? So the chemistry was there. But when Keanu has to, like, act against somebody else, or
like Sandra
be...
Sandra, too, is just so... She's, like, really amazing.
She's, almost, too good. I think with Speed, like, Keanu was such a dynamic personality that it was kind of like...
Here he was sort of like your average day Joe, right?
Yeah, so it's weird. Like, and that's part of the problem. Keanu can't do, like, average Joe. He's got to be the one or something.
Right, he's so good.
Some sort of sage
Matrix,
personality, like, or something, you know?
When he's definitely not an average Joe.
Yeah. Or, like, John Wick. You know,
sure.
Those are really his, those are kind of his niche.
Those are his thing.
And as mindless as the roles are, you know, hey, you know, to each their own.
That smolder is a little too powerful, I'll admit. It's a little too powerful for average Joe.
Yeah.
Agreed. How do you feel about Keanu?
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah.
Me too.
Absolutely.
Me too. Great. So much.
He's got the quotes. Like, somebody could, put him in a little pocket handbook, carry him around.
That's cute.
So awesome. Yeah, no, he was great, but yeah, no, like, there was one moment in particular where they stay on him for too long, where she's like, what are you thinking?
Alarming.
What's happening? I don't, what am I supposed to be getting from this? Yep.
Did you see the twist coming?
So... I saw the first twist coming. I did not expect the second twist. So, shows what a cynic I am.
Damn.
Because he's wearing the same kind of coats that... So, the fellow that who gets hit in the car wreck.
Die really early, like 15 minutes or something in. Like, very early.
Yeah, like, he's wearing very similar getup to Mr. Keanu, who... Yeah, I mistakenly thought he was a construction worker. I knew he was architecturally inclined, but I don't know. I don't know why I thought he would. Because he wears the construction worker stuff in the getup, but architects do wear that stuff too. So,
yeah.
Don't know. But I saw the initial twist coming where it's like, oh my God, that's going to be you, dude. And then evidence would continue to pile up to support the fact that it's just like, oh my God, you're so going to die. Like,
you're dead,
and then,
bro.
Like, no. And then perfectly timed, looking at the paper, I guess, saved his life.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming. I thought we were going to get another. It was going to be City of Angels all over again.
I wouldn't
again.
Do that to you twice in a season. In one season.
And that is what I was saying. I was like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
No.
Like, yeah.
No, also, for a second, I won't lie. Like, in the scene where she talks to the little girl that's, like, super wise, or talking about her mama, like, saying don't settle for anybody, you know?
Yeah.
I thought, oh my God, is she going to die? And I gave Jacob another child dying. But she didn't. We just never see her again. But I was scared. I was legit scared. Because I tend to block that out for some reason in every movie, so I never see it coming. I'm like, I've seen this six times, but I forgot this happened.
Yeah, right. Nope, dodged it this time.
Woo!
Yeah, no, that was good. And that was well done. Although, satisfying payoff with the kissing at the end, I don't know. Because kissing a little awkward.
A little bit.
A little awkward. Chemistry, off the hook.
Off the hook. I sort of know the answer to this, but did you also see the twist coming?
The only reason she knows it is because I texted you while I was watching it.
Ah. What was the text?
The text was, oh my God, he's going to be the guy who dies, isn't he? I was trying to get her to tell me before I knew. And then later on I was like, called it.
No way.
Like I even texted it out like that.
Yes. So good.
Well done.
I did not see the second twist, yeah. Though.
Yes. Yep.
However, yeah. I was not shocked by the second twist.
Yeah, right. True enough. I was. No.
That is because you're more cynical. I think the people who made this are like, there's so much death in the world.
Fuck that.
Are you a person who loves or hates surprise parties?
What a great reaction on her part.
Dude.
Because it was done away from them and then having to put on the...
Yeah, she did awesome.
The happy face. I was like, that might be me. I don't know. Like, part of me wants to think that, oh yeah, surprise party would be awesome. But then most of the time, like, oh right, they have to surprise you.
Right.
So you might not be ready for that.
Plus, like, I feel like as an introvert, I'm like sometimes not in the mood to be social.
Exactly.
So it's like if I'm in that mood and that's when the surprise party happens. Like,
awesome.
Bummer.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, right.
If I don't feel like being social, yeah. But, you know, Colleen, surprise party, yes or no?
Mm. Oh, I'm just about the same way. I'm very introverted, so I need planning to make sure that my space is comfortable for, you know, socializing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would be down for a surprise party if the people throwing the surprise party knew me enough to set the space up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yep.
I hear you.
Tricky business.
It is. It's hard.
Tricky business. Knowing introverts. Nope.
Yeah. She definitely was not pleased about it, but yeah. She put on a good face, man.
God, in that sandy way. She's great.
She's so good.
Yeah.
Can Peak you make sandy. Sense of the timeline?
No. Time don't warp? Ask time. Me to.
We got to talk about the timeline. It's time to talk about the timeline.
Is it the mailbox?
It has to be the magic mailbox, right?
And the dog.
The dog, I'm convinced, is a magical being. because this is something I noticed this time that I never noticed before.
Yeah.
She, like, he says, it's 2004, and she says, you're going to have a blizzard, right?
Yeah.
And she looks over at the dog, and she says, remember this blizzard? You weren't happy. But the dog was with him in 2004 when we go back.
Oh,
so that has to be a continuity issue. Or the dog is a fucking wizard.
I mean, let's not rule it out.
I'm not ruling it out.
And the mailbox... and it's just so weird. And then what else did I want to say about it? Sending the letters to each other is one thing, but... having verbal conversations across time? What the fuck?
Oh, yeah. It's real weird.
Or is that an artistic choice, which I also don't really like, actually. Where it's like, no, they're saying what they wrote in their letters. It's like, that's weird in a medium like movies where, like, you can...
They're 100% saying what they wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't work, though, because they have... She says... But wait, and then he finishes a sentence.
That's, and like, exactly, you can't interrupt somebody.
In a letter.
In a letter.
Unless it was like, I know what you're thinking. Like, you know, like if you're reading a book, like it might say that before assuming what the other person... I don't fucking know,
no,
man.
No, man, exactly.
I'm not a wizard dog that writes letters.
Like, yeah. So that's why that's where it all falls apart. It's just like, no, you can't be talking this way to each other. I think
they were like, we have to save time.
Exactly.
There's not enough time to do these letters back and forth. We need to show they have a relationship.
No. Yep.
Right?
Not a fan. Yeah. The time, it just, it's weird.
What did you think about his dad's character?
I don't like that. See, I don't really like, well, R.I.P.
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah, he is passed. But I'm not a big fan of Christopher Plummer. Just, you know, some of his roles are pretty good, but he also kind of is a jerk about The Sound of Music, which was one of his, like, big roles, but he frequently likes to talk bad about it for whatever reason.
Gosh,
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. So, but, you know, not, sorry, just because of the dead. But no, like, he did pretty good in this role. Like, I think he did a serviceable job. I'm just not the biggest fan of his. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christopher Plummer.
Christopher Plummer. Yeah, I think he's kind of an asshole. You know, we hear Keanu or Alex.
Yeah.
Say that, like, when his mom died, that his dad wouldn't go to the funeral because when she left him, she was, like, dead to him. And I'm like, that's, like, fucked up.
Yeah, it's real fucked.
It's a fucked up way to look at life.
What a villain. Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. The villain of the story.
It's the dead dad.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there is no real villain of the story.
No.
Except for maybe her boyfriend.
Or the dog.
That throws her the surprise party.
Yeah, right.
And never listens and that to guy, anything like, that she likes or says.
And that guy, like, just was mediocre, that boyfriend, right?
Well, we could, like, I think that over and over, this they actually did a great job of showing why they didn't work, which is, like, he doesn't listen to her when she speaks.
Ah. Mm.
And, like, we see him constantly just, like,
well, also, he doesn't, like, listen says. To her when she speaks, and...
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, right, yes. Exactly.
And so I think that, you know, she clearly is, like, settling when she goes back to him. They don't work out.
True enough.
They don't work.
Not quite.
They don't.
Yeah, not quite him? Not quite Bill Pullman enough, you know. He's trying to be the Bill Pullman of this story, the Nora Ephron-ish story that we have going on. It's Nora Ephron vibes, right?
Like, it so is. I read a review on it today by Robert Eckelman, I think his name is. Like, he's a reviewer.
Mm-hmm.
And he titled it, You've Got Mail, ... So, like, it definitely, I get it.
Yeah, right.
I get it.
Yeah.
He couldn't make sense of the timeline either.
I don't think anybody can. I think there is a college thesis on it that I need to look into. There's been a college thesis book.
Do we have to understand it, or can we just enjoy it?
See, and every time up until today, I've just enjoyed it. Because it's a wild ride, like you said. It's a wild fucking ride. I definitely am... I wish that we could see the after effect, right?
Hmm.
Like, what all... Like, her,
well, because
his
now
brother,
what?
Right?
Are they going to jump forward to...
Well, no, but, like... So, if we presume that, like, he didn't die, and now they're together, and they're going to their lake house, which looks different.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? Like, his brother... They just, like, reset
his brother
themselves.
Who I thought was going to be his son for a second. Like, and that would have been really weird. I know. I don't know why, but I'm like... Wait, is this going to be
well,
a
yeah, because
son?
So like, so here's how that works.
Yeah, please explain it, because I'm thinking of these guys that are at the realtor's office. They just, like, had a moment where they kissed, and now everything that guy knows about his brother is wrong, and that guy's like, where's my girlfriend?
So what I feel like is going on here is we have the first timeline, correct? Up until the point where she realizes... that he's the guy that dies, so she wants to try and stop it.
Hmm.
So she sends the letter, hoping she got it out in time. So once she did that change, she rippled the timelines because we're sandwiched in between all these other different realities. There's so many different realities that are aligned with ours, and even just the slightest vibration could swap us into a different setting. It's the Mandela effect
that
people are getting, like, all of a sudden ever since, like, 2012 when the Mayan calendar ended and everybody thought that the world was going to end.
Yeah.
Like, there's that theory that everybody now is dead.
Oh.
Because that actually happened, and we're all having a collective, our lives are flashing before our eyes moment. That's the theory that's going on. But that's what I think. I think when she sent that letter, she changed the timelines. And so they melded. And what happened where he died because he's no longer dead, that timeline has been taken out of the equation and moved aside. It doesn't exist anymore because she changed that timeline. So it no longer exists in this new plane.
Back to the future rules. No.
I like it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's great.
It worked. I mean,
that works.
It'll have to work. No.
That's what you get.
Because I'm sick of talking. No, just kidding.
Doctor Who rules.
Doctor Who rules.
Yeah, very nice.
Soon to be Doctor Strange rules, probably.
Oh my God, I love him. I'm so excited.
Coming soon. Yeah. Works for me. Cool. Is it time?
I think it's time.
Okay.
Favorites. All right. Favorite performance.
All right. So favorite. I mean, come on. You can't just come into a movie with Sandy Bullock and think you're going to take it from her. No. Sandra Bullock is,
she's the best.
She's the carrying one here. So,
and you agree?
Yeah.
I agree with that.
She is so good.
You kind of have to. You do kind of have to give it to one of the two, I suppose. They seem to be the. I mean, they're in the bulk of every fucking shot. They're stupid, beautiful mugs, you know.
I know.
Sandra Bullock. And then honorable would be Keanu, actually. He actually earned it, because didn't really care for the brother, the nurse mom were pretty great supporting characters, though.
Yeah, I agree. The mom, I think, was, such a confounding character, because she's just you're writing letters across time. What else?
Yeah, accepted a little too easily.
No big deal.
Yeah. I am Nora Ephron.
Favorite quote of dialogue.
Oh, man. It comes from the nurse, because I think it's solid advice.
On your
day off, get as far from this place as you can. Go someplace where you feel most like yourself.
That's such good advice.
Solid advice. Might be my recommendation, even. Take it or leave it.
Mine would have to be, he must always be captured by the light. Mm. Always the light.
That's lovely.
Because I feel like that resonates with not only your surroundings, but also with people. Mm-hmm. If you find somebody who has a light that is attractive to you, go for it.
Yes, I totally agree.
Sick.
That's very good. Favorite scene?
Bitchin'. So the extended medium shot where we get to see them meet for the first... Well, kind of technically the second time in a way, but meet for the first time and have an extended conversation.
Yeah.
It was a bold move for them to set those two actors up and just put the camera there and just let them roll. Nowadays, they'd be throwing in edits all over the place to sell the chemistry and everything, but they didn't need it here because it was there. So I liked seeing that play out.
Yeah,
it was good. I was like, oh, no cuts. Very bold.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock had a really big crush on Keanu, and he didn't know, and she didn't tell him.
That works.
It checks out, right?
Because I was like, it couldn't be the other way.
No, later he admitted that he had a crush on her too, and he just didn't know she had a crush on him.
Ah,
and it
was the friend scenario again.
It was just like lives across, and David Schwimmer,
Jennifer Aniston situation.
Yep. Serendipity, man.
Favorite scene?
My favorite scene has to be when he goes to get the book and then walks towards the train as it's leaving. It's just
Caesar.
Just the lighting of the scene and just him.
Solid.
And the train.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Pretty.
That's my favorite.
Pretty flower.
Would you rewatch and recommend?
I guess. And I guess, yeah.
Excellent.
Yep. Guilty pleasure.
If somebody were to ask me if I wanted to watch it, I would say, yeah, sure.
But fair. Would you recommend it?
Absolutely. I am the queen of chaos. So I have to recommend things that are crazy to people.
Yes. What would you rate it out of 5 stars?
Oh, reboot?
Reboot.
Yeah. Reboot. I know it's new.
Would you reboot it?
We're shaking off the reboot scenario for this one. Does it work? If we could commit to it being a little melodramatic, perhaps, but it's so hard. Like, romances tend to just be rom-coms now.
Or if Nora Ephron had been the helm, then it could have worked.
And see, see, that scenario even works better, like, in another timeline. Yeah, yeah. No, Nora Ephron, she would have, it would have had to have been a situation of, like, that script, like, whatever fucking script they had, and then let her have it and do what she does best.
Do whatever
best.
She wants
like,
to do to it,
which
yeah.
was, like, yeah, fix it.
Yes.
First, the fuck is this timeline? Like, the fuck is this?
It's a bad timeline.
Great. Okay, sorry. And then, rating? Yeah.
Yeah, rate. Five stars.
So out of 5 stars, 2.5. Yeah, same as you. Yeah.
Good. That's solid.
Middle of the road, but yeah. Definitely fits.
It's not
guilty
excellent.
Pleasure
not
criteria.
Colleen?
3.
Wow.
Yes! 3. You both go with 2.5, and I'm like,
more
3.
More than
ha 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 ha.
The boyfriend school?
Yes. I'm sorry,
holy
my bad.
Shit.
It is a point better than the boyfriend school.
But for what reason? Keanu or Sandy?
Sandy. Oh. Both. They are both so good. Also, by the way, I just got a horrible haircut on Monday, and I'm watching this movie, The Lake House, and she has my haircut.
You're so, not wrong.
I'm not wrong. I'm watching it last night. I'm like, that hair looks familiar.
Funny shit.
So, yeah, excellent.
Fantastic.
Good. So is it time?
So let's see. Yes, now comes the time for the connections.
Connections.
Yeah. And this is where we're introducing a new soundbite segment to introduce it. Check this out.
Chess pawns, clock, matches, all physical objects man-made, small in size, light in weight. What's the connection?
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware
of what?
Our connection.
And so, we are all connected in the great circle of life.
All right, so connections. Let's do it. Casey, what do you got?
All right. both movies use books to move the story along.
Okay, yes.
You got that. Both movies have the main characters fall in love in an unconventional way.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then this one I need more explaining for. So I don't know how to word this otherwise. So in The Boyfriend School, he pretends to be a different character, knowing that he is him, and then he sleeps with her. Mm. But she is not under, she doesn't know.
Yeah.
And in The Lake House, Alex kisses her,
yeah,
like really knowing her, but she doesn't know that he knows her.
Okay,
so I'm like, how do I use
deception? I know it's both share deception,
both, yeah. The Lake House, like, he tells her right afterwards, mm-hmm. So I feel like it's a little less bad.
right I know, yeah, it's yeah,
it's
weird,
it's weird though, yeah. It's and weird. Both boys do that, so
yeah.
Those awesome. Are my connections.
Awesome. Colleen, connections.
So the connections that I had found were they're both unabashedly just romantic.
Yeah.
Like they,
that's true.
They're not shy about it. It's not, they're not shy about it. That was one connection I had.
Mm-hmm.
They both have really weird plot lines.
Yeah.
Excellent.
On different scales, on different scales. Both of the movies revolve around romance novels.
Yes, that's true.
So we've got the romance novelist in The Boyfriend School.
Yeah.
And then this movie is kind of like doing a nod to the Jane Austen book Persuasion.
Yes.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
They both have homes over water.
Oh, shit,
so
they do.
He's in a home over water. She's in a home over water.
Damn.
Yep. He's in a home over
both
water.
Both are nice houses in their own way.
Yeah.
In that, yeah.
They both have reoccurring symbols. is something I noticed. This is, I'm going to be a little bit of Stretch Armstrong here, but the first one that I saw was the Trout, the editor, and Lizzie putting up Trout on her wall, like trophies.
Yeah.
And then they had the reoccurring theme of the black and white movie in the lake house.
Yep.
So they both had something that reoccurred.
Got it.
Yeah.
But I did stretch a little bit for that.
That's all right. That's working, okay. Working.
Both movies take advantage of the perspective of time. Whereas, you know, in The Boyfriend School, Gus is taking time to himbify himself. Himboify.
Got it. Yep.
And there's the time between Kate and Alex.
Yes.
So both have relations to time.
Mm-hmm.
Both also have very key ideals for romance, which is have patience, be patient. Yeah. You know, even though like The Boyfriend School kind of overshadowed it with the bad message of don't be yourself and you'll get your partner you want. And that's all.
Great messaging.
Love it. Good job.
Awesome.
Strong ass connections.
Glad we got those out of the way because now we got mine where it's both have women who are not into the old fashioned ideas of romance. Sandra Bullock definitely starts out that way, you know. And then you have Jamie Gertz's character. Both leading ladies are in a relationship, but hope for one more fulfilling or just something better. Maybe no guy at all. Who knows? Yeah. Both were featured in How Did This Get Made, the podcast.
That is so good.
Yeah. Thanks for the podcasters at that. Yeah. Provided some great insight.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Lots of images of Keanu sneezing.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So many.
That was the perfect fake sneeze.
It so was good. Golden.
The fake sneeze to end all fake sneezes. Yeah. All righty then. So now with that out of the way, so this is another new segment that we will be going more in depth with our next season. We, you know, if you liked either of these movies, which you're insane.
Or they're part of the cult.
Or they're part of the cult. If you found yourself enjoying these movies, we got some movie matchups to throw your way with a sound bite. Here we go.
But look at this nice thing though we have here.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find, catch me a catch.
So Casey, tell the listeners at home the movie matchmaking you did for your movie.
If you liked The Boyfriend School, you might like Three Men and a Baby.
Which we covered on our other podcast.
We did.
Holy crap.
On the OG. Was that a
watch-along? One that was a normal episode and one that was a watch-along. Yeah.
She's All That.
She's All That. Okay,
it's
yes.
It's a makeover
mentioned.
Movie.
Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
From
perfect.
The 90s? I want to say it's from the
90s.
I think
it was from the 90s. Yep.
And the third one is a new movie. It's called Sierra Burgess is a Big Loser.
Oh,
Sierra and that's Burgess. A Netflix movie.
Okay.
That's essentially about catfishing, which is sort of what this is also about.
Interesting.
yeah, so.
Solid. Oh, I love it. I'm going to love this segment going forward because, yeah, we won't tell each other about these. And if you liked The Lake House, you might like You've Got Mail.
Yes.
Like we talked about the Nora Ephron-ness of it all. City of Angels, honestly.
Yes.
There's a lot of similarities. City of Angels is going to be a little more melodramatic for you, but, you know.
A little more heart-wrenching.
And then, I'm sorry, I might be butchering this pronunciation and everything, Ilmer, which is the movie that it is based on.
Mm, very cool.
And, yeah. So, check that out. Check,
check
either
them out.
Any of those out. Awesome.
Hell yeah.
So now it's time for our recommendation. All right, recommendations.
Yeah.
Casey, what do you got?
I'm recommending an Amazon original movie called The Book of Love. It is about an author who writes a love story and it's played by the guy that is Finnick in Hunger Games.
Oh my god.
Sam Claflin. I love him.
Yeah.
He's an author in Britain, and he writes a love story that, like, is sort of transcendent, and, like, they don't have intimate moments, and most of the British people think it's a very boring book. But in Mexico, it's a number one bestseller. So he goes to Mexico to, like, do a book tour and then finds out that the person that translated his book from English to Spanish rewrote the whole thing, basically. So that's what the premise of the movie is. And it's very fun and funny and good. And yeah, and it's awesome. Just interesting. And it came out this year, 2022. So it's very new.
Dang, I do want to check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Book of Love
on Amazon Prime.
All right, Colleen.
If you ever wanted to see Groundhog Day, but more gritty,
yes,
I would highly recommend Russian Doll, the Netflix series.
All right.
Yes. How many seasons? It stars Natasha Lyonne. There's only one season. Okay. However, there's two seasons now. Okay. Holy cow. There's two seasons. It's amazing. I love this show. I have seen it so many times. It stars Natasha Lyonne, you know, your favorite redheaded gal in all of your movies where she's loud and amazing. I love Natasha. She's peak goals. But the little synopsis about it says, Nadia's 40th birthday is a few days away, and she's planning to celebrate it quietly with Alan. Then something really strange happens. I cannot give anything away because I don't want to spoil it for you, because the second I say something, it's going to kind of spoil the whole show, but you have to watch it.
Yeah.
Groundhog's Day, but gritty and funny.
Hmm.
Funnier.
Russian Doll.
Funnier.
Yeah. The Russian Doll.
Yeah, it's good.
No, Russian Doll.
Oh, Russian Doll. No, the.
No, the.
It's cleaner. It's cleaner. Little Social Network humor for you. No. So I am recommending, it just dropped on HBO Max. So for all you cool people who happen to have it, it might be available on DVD and stuff now, maybe. But The Batman.
The Batman.
I was just as skeptical as you, you know. What's his name?
Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson as Edward. Batman? Come on. No, he did a good job, and it's in the hands of a really good director. This guy directed two out of the three new Planet of the Apes films, which are amazing. And yeah, he's a really good director. So I recommend checking out The Batman. It's very long, though, I will say that.
At least when you're watching it from home, you can pause it.
Yep.
So that's Boom. Very cool.
Boom. All right. Recommendations out of the way. You know, if you have recommendations of your own, or, you know, want to suggest something to us, you can send those our way via our email.
At movieconnectionpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on Instagram at The Movie Connection, all one word. Or you can follow us individually. Me at Jacob Bean Watson.
Me at Casey Schwartz.
And did you? We have a Facebook, all that good stuff to follow us on, follow our every move on.
That's right. Leave us a review on iTunes. We would really appreciate that.
Appreciate it. I also post reviews on Letterboxd all the time, so check out that. And yeah, without further ado, well, this is the closing of season 2 of The Movie Connection. It's been awesome. Colleen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me here. Thanks this for is being, really fun.
No, so fun. You brought eloquence and some freaking mind-blowing thoughts to the movie in question. I was going to say,
she really explained, like, time ripple to me, so that was great.
Beautifully.
so many connections, too. Like, great job.
Really well
done. A+. We're going to have to step up
first
our game
podcast?
Now.
First podcast.
Woo-hoo. This is the only thing I've ever done in podcasting.
Well done.
So thank you. Job.
Yeah. And now, without further ado.
Oh, and if you guys miss us on our little break that we take, feel free to go backwards in time and listen to some of our Disney Channel surfers.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got plenty to pick.
There's
from
a lot.
In there.
Just skip the summer of sequels. Do yourself
no,
a favor.
No, don't.
Just do it. Just skip it.
It's so good.
It's so bad.
Some of them are. Some of them are.
Lion King. Lion King 2.
Lion King 2. No.
Peter Pan 2.
Yep. You always don't give it enough credit. No. And we'll be back in the summertime. And in fact, here's you know, a little sneak preview for you awesome individuals who stay listening for this long. A little sneak preview into the movies we will be watching right off the bat for season 3. All right, so Casey, what are you going to assign me to kick off season 3 of The Movie Connection?
Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, solid choice. That's a, I mean, people really love that movie.
Yeah, I'm one of the people. Me too. I won't lie.
And I probably should have seen, I'm probably going to like it, and I'm just afraid to admit it. So let's check that out. And then for you, Casey, this is probably going to be a revisit. Do you remember a little movie called Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me?
I do remember this. Yes, I'm excited.
So let's have that be, yeah, let's have that be the movies we try to connect.
Good luck to us.
Yeah. Well, we have a whole 4 weeks to figure it out. Well, enjoy your time off. We will enjoy ours. Ta-ta for now, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Test point. Matches all physical objects man-made. Smaller than size, nice. What's the connection?
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware
of what?
Our connection.
So, we are all connected in the great circle of life.